Welcome back to Three in the Box. Yes, thank you for listening. You're probably going to hear, if you're listening on signetradio.com, you're going to hear four episodes crammed together all at once. Or maybe three. Not really sure. More likely three, and then you'll hear this one posted the next day. Thank you very much for listening. This is the Meat Beast, and I'm sitting here with Kenny.
Yo.
And Aaron.
Hey, hey, hey.
And, of course, we've got Jive sitting over in the production box. Shout hi, Jive. There you go. And if you can hear anything in the background, that would be the scrimmage game between the red shirts and the white shirts of the Wild.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Well, you guys stepped out just briefly there. I was listening to the announcers. I mean, just because we started
out doing the play-by-play.
It's the normal. It's LaPanta and
Gorg?
Greenlay. And one of them said the white guys. The white guys. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Is that why they traded Dumba?
It's still less racist than our last show.
Yes.
All right.
So far.
But that was all the Wild announcers there. So right now we got scrimmage going on. The first televised quote-unquote game of the year.
The first event of the year.
Well, for the Wild, because things that we were seeing earlier look like the Detroit game may have been televised.
Detroit scrimmage.
These are all scrimmages.
Detroit scrimmage.
Yeah.
There's no real preseason games.
Actually, Bertuzzi had a nice behind-the-back. Was that a shootout goal?
It looked like a shootout. But I think that's going to be what the Wild are planning. They're going to do an overtime, and I believe they're going to do they're going to do 4-on-4, and they're also planning on doing a shootout.
Regardless of score, it is
practice.
A scrimmage.
Yeah, so we might be able to see some crazy stuff from that.
Nice trick shots.
Well, and one of the silly things that we should probably bring up that our listeners won't care about at all, but obviously we are fans enough that we have a fantasy hockey league, and we went to go have our little cordoned off. What are we going to talk about on the show? Blah 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 blah. And met up to have dinner and discuss what we were going to talk about tonight. And we forgot that we had set up an auto draft for our asterisk season in our fantasy hockey league. Got to the studio here and found out that we have much better teams than we thought we were going to get from auto draft. And that the draft was done.
I think we did better than what happened on the league.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the league in auto draft was much worse. I actually have a viable team that I can skate immediately.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Thank you, Jeff. I was waiting for that.
Perfect timing.
So, should we start off with Wild? I mean, do we want to go Wild first?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. We're already talking about Wild. Let's go Wild,
Hell yeah. Who's got what they want to bring up?
Well, I want to talk about Dumba is actually skating with the Wild.
Brilliant.
The Wild, that's going to be the big question for them on the season is, are they going to stand up defensively? I mean, I don't think anyone has a whole lot of questions about them on the offensive side.
There's been a lot of Russo, I think, had even pointed out that, are they going to have line one, line 1B? Like line 1A, line 1B, or is it, and then line 3, or is it going to be?
Well, not only that, but unlike last year, they have a lot of depth.
Very much on
the front lines.
Yeah, on the forward line.
The deep pairing is not as much.
Right, and that maybe opens the door for Dumba.
And Dumba was one of the best pickups coming out of last season.
Right.
That was huge news for her here and not nearly talked about as much as it should have been.
Granted,
he kind of got overshadowed a little bit with the nice signings of, two big name stars with Parise and Suter, especially.
But
together.
That happened later.
Yes, but
I mean, Dumba got signed, 2-3 weeks earlier?
Right, right.
But there was still the talk
and
about
it was still,
Parise
it was
and
hyped,
Suter.
But nobody really went.
No, because when he was drafted, he was 17 years old. He's only 18 right now.
Exactly.
So he's still just a kid. He's a big kid.
And he's a phenomenal player, and he's already been cutting his chops.
No, he did not play in the juniors, though, did he?
No, he got cut from the team. He got cut from Team Canada. He was in the finals as far as the selection process, but he just didn't make the cut. He went back to the WHL. I believe it was Red Deer he's playing for right now in WHL, and maybe He's not going to go. He's either going to play. He might get a taste with the Wild, get a few games. He can actually be on the roster and be scratched, and that won't count towards his game count. And I believe it's 7 games or 8 games, something like that, that he's allowed before using up a contract year.
The new CBA?
Yeah. So he might be able to get a taste. They may scratch him a few games, especially considering the Wild have some questionable guys on defense right now as far as injury. You know,
well, and you're also forgetting about the fact that this is a goal-scoring defenseman. I mean, this is absolutely what this kid does. He's a goal-scoring defenseman, and on top of that,
he had an assist tonight.
Is an enforcer.
He's not an enforcer.
Well, he's a big
kid. Oh, he will
kid.
Drop the gloves and whoop the ever-loving crap kid, out he, of anybody.
He's a big kid, but willing to drop gloves and being an enforcer are two different things. He's not an enforcer.
Most of his fights. You know, I really wouldn't be surprised to see him step into the role while also still being a goal-scoring defenseman.
But you wouldn't draft an enforcer in the first round.
I'm not saying Gordie Howe here by any stretch, but I'm kind of hinting at it.
But you wouldn't call Gordie Howe an enforcer, though.
Hey, you get a good two-way forward lined up.
You wouldn't call him an enforcer. I mean, come on.
No, but if you stepped up to him, he whooped the ever-loving shit out of you.
Sure, but you wouldn't call him an enforcer.
If you got too close on a hit,
you'd call him a physical guy, you know, grinder.
He would drop
like
the
that.
Gloves and beat the ever-loving.
But you wouldn't call him an enforcer, though.
You know, although as a good two-way
Boogaard,
fair enough,
enforcer.
Now you know you do
John
have a
Scott,
point.
Enforcer.
Gordie
Howe.
I will say this guy.
No,
will
Gordie
Howe answer
just
the call.
Yeah.
He will answer the call when the bell is rung.
Yeah.
And if that means just him getting cheap-shotted while he's getting a nice, fast break, he'll make it happen.
Maybe a good comparison would be Evander Kane.
Or what about Clayton Stoner?
There we go. Now we've got a little more agreement.
What about Clayton Stoner that used to play with the Wild?
Someone who's got a bit of a scrappy edge to him, you know?
Stoner wasn't as much of a two-way forward, but he was a hell of a defenseman, and he was a big dude that did not mind sticking up for his players.
Or Evander Kane.
Evander Kane as well.
All you gotta look is that Matt Cook hit, you know, a few years back when Kane was still with Atlanta. That punch that just rattled Cook's cage.
I say if Dumba makes the team, put him with Suter. On top line, you got two.
No.
Dude, at that point, you got two two-way defensemen with a guy who can take care of your top line offense.
You're not going to move Spurgeon down like that, though. That's a slap in the face to Spurgeon. And plus, you still got Jonas Brodin. You know, the thought is in long-term, Brodin, no diss on Dumba, but Broden's going to be a better guy than Dumba. Potential. I mean, the ceiling on Brodin is much higher than on Dumba.
All right, so maybe we're looking at this wrong. Maybe our defense is not sitting that bad.
That could very well be the case.
I think it's going to be a lot like last year, and our forwards are young. So
some of them.
Our reserve forwards. So basically, the depth that we had was really young.
It was questionable when we were looking at it as an overview.
They weren't ready. They weren't seasoned. Much like Dumba's.
Well, we weren't sure.
But Dumba, Brodin, they've got no NHL experience.
They don't.
So they're going to be very...
But look at... Look
but
at,
green.
You look at
when,
you know?
Look at when Burns came up, though. And they
Thank
paired
you.
Him with,
That's exactly what I was just going to bring up.
They paired him with Keith
They brought
Keith
up
Carney.
Burns, and he instantly just came up to the plate and made Carney, who was a veteran, look foolish.
No. Carney took him under his wing and showed him the ropes. You got a veteran that's been playing for 20 years.
But you're
going to... 15
you're,
years.
But you're going to hope for that with Scandella and Spurgeon playing
Absolutely.
With Suter and Gilbert, you know.
No disagreement here.
Yeah, Suter's addition obviously adds a ton of depth. I think especially since we all agreed that we're worried about the defense, that is the knee-jerk reaction of the fans right now to the Wild.
Well, that
ultimately, we have more depth in defense than we are thinking about. It will come down to how the coach decides the plays are to develop and the style of play he tries to make these players make.
I think
will they have the chemistry they were lacking last year?
I think a lot of it though is that the fans, they see a good performance from a kid and expect them to do that at the same level forever. And it goes beyond just hockey, really.
No, totally.
You know,
totally.
You see a good performance, you're going to expect that. Whereas these guys, you know, Dumba's 18.
Okay.
How many blue line 18-year-olds have been successful in the last 20 years.
How about put him on the second line?
Name him.
How about put
name
him on him. The second line D with Gilbert then?
Actually, I was going to bring one up, but...
You might have one in 20.
No, you're right.
You know?
You've got a great point.
Yeah. Forwards are a little more likely, but, you know, under 20, it's tough. It's really tough to be consistent at that level and be physical, because you also have that increased physical level that those kids those kids just aren't used to.
Well, and
you
that's one of the reasons I think Dumba's actually going to be a success is he's proven he's a very physical player.
He's a big kid. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He's a physical player.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's willing to drop the gloves to make sure everything is played proper.
So like I said, I mean, you're never going to have your first line D always matched up with your first line offense. You know, you're going to have overlap all the time, especially usually only having three D lines and four offensive lines.
Yeah.
What about putting them on second line with Tom Gilbert? Another veteran player has a lot of skill.
I still think that's going to come off as a slap in the face to Scandella. And he's going to view it as such.
I don't think Gilbert and Scandella are the right pairing, though.
But I think that's what the current pairing is.
I think you're right. Well,
you know.
I don't think it's right, you know, insofar as paying attention to the blue line. And whether Dumba would be on third line or second line is academic at this point, but I think he would be more well suited with one of those two as his line mate as opposed to those two being together. I think he would be a better fit.
Well, I think, you know, having Gilbert and Suter on a line would be freaking phenomenal.
But the one thing you got to keep in mind that Gilbert is...
We need to make sure we have depth in the team.
No, I understand that.
And Gilbert signed for this year and next, so he's not a long-term guy. So
currently.
And honestly, you know, Dumba is probably not going to make... Dumba, maybe even Broden, for that matter, isn't going to make much of an impact this year, realistically. They're probably not. If they get called up and we had to pull them in because of injuries or what have you, so be it. But we really need them 2 years from now when Gilbert's gone.
You know, I also have to
Gilbert's
argue, though,
gone. Stoner might be gone, you know.
Crosser
might be gone.
For every day, there's a counterplay.
So much has been lost. Like, we bring up, especially in Minnesota, we bring up so many of our farm team people so often.
Well...
One of the things is, I think too often we've got a star player that we shove down to a farm team that would have been better suited to be on the ice in the NHL and not get too comfortable with the lower level of play in the minors.
I think I would say the opposite. Too many times we brought guys up that don't have enough experience that we're trying to shove it down their throat.
All you got to look is look at Edmonton. They got a lot of kids and a lot of talent, but they're just so young still.
Was it LeBron, I think, from ESPN. I could be wrong on LeBron,
Pierre LeBrun.
I could be wrong on who actually wrote it. Actually had forecasted Edmonton to be number three this year in the NHL at the end of the season. And when asked why, everybody was laughing at him. He's like, most of their young guys are playing together on their farm team, on their AHL team.
Yeah.
They've been playing all season long together. Yeah. They're very comfortable with each other right now.
But you got to look.
I mean, you had, what, Eberle? You've got Nugent Hopkins. Taylor Hall. You know, you got these guys.
You got Schultz now.
And you've got
all these guys playing together that have been playing together all year long when you don't have.
But they also played all together last year, too. And we saw how good Edmonton did.
That's
not
true.
Very well.
And we also see what happened with the good.
And these guys already have. Halfway there.
We also saw what happened with the good chemistry coming up from the AHL to the Wild when they were finally in the power rankings.
Well,
and leading the league, and then just due to injury and grinding out the horror of a season it is to be on the ice in the NHL, they couldn't maintain that chemistry.
Josh, the only thing that I have to say against that is the fact that the guys that Edmonton had been playing together, have had a half a season or a full season in the NHL experience playing against the top-line guys. The guys that the Wild had brought up with the chemistry have not had that full-on first-line versus first-line NHL experience.
Right, yeah.
Kenny, the only thing I'm going to say here is that last year, while you were talking about how are these guys doing so well, as we're pulling them up. Oh, because they've been playing on the arrows together the whole time. This is why they're changing the front lines of the Wild and blah, blah, blah.
Hindsight's 20/20.
All you got to do, though, is look at the Wild's record after December 1st last year when the kids got called up.
The kids had already been called up for some time at that point.
No, they hadn't.
Our
major injuries happened on December 15th. I just looked it up. So
fair enough.
But that's when things kind of fell apart. That's when we lost, right around when we lost Koivu and Setoguchi, I believe.
I believe so.
We lost Koivu, Heatley, and Setoguchi.
No, Heatley played the whole season.
Heatley did stay the whole season. I thought he had a couple of games out.
Nope, he was good. He was the only one who played all the games. But it was, we lost Setoguchi and Koivu, and that's when things kind of, the wheels came off.
Well before the trades. Like Sidlicky was out for quite a bit. PMB was out most of the season.
Well, he's still questionable. I mean, if he gets hurt during the scrimmage, he might be out for another few more weeks.
And it's all still concussion-like systems.
Yeah. But
symptoms.
But we've got more kids, and I think we're sitting better depth-wise. But I don't think there's any harm in letting them sit and marinate in the AHL. You know, there's no rush, especially with someone like Dumba.
90% of the people, I will agree with
you on. Well, and Dumba's not even AHL right now. He's WHL right now. Yeah, I mean, give him some AHL experience. Obviously, he's doing pretty damn good tonight.
Okay, we were all sitting on the club level at the game where we watched the Arrows. Yep. I think he would be better. Like, he is enough of a power player that if he gets to coast in the AHL, he won't develop well enough to step up to the NHL. Well,
I don't think he would coast, though. I think he's young enough and he's got enough energy that he would...
Coast might not have been the right word. What I mean is that he would condition himself to that level of play and then have to struggle to bring it up. Whereas if he's brought up now, he'll step his game up now. I think basically from what I've seen out of the footage on him and watching what he's done, I think he's one of the players that would benefit from not being put down into the AHL.
But I think that at that point they got to give him a contract. Whereas
you're absolutely right,
and that's where it becomes different. They would much rather have him get seasoned in the WHL, not have to pay him.
Well, yeah, you got contract stuff with that, too, and
exactly.
Pay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that kind of funny because we're talking about how deep the Wild offensively is right now, where, you know, when the team first came around, we were definitely very defensive. And I know we have all seen this now, and thank you, Jive, for bringing this up.
Jive, that was brilliant.
PMB equals Gabby. Yes, PMB has been hurt a lot.
In our internal communications, it was PMB equals Gabby. And, yeah, Jive, that was brilliant and funny. PMB has been hurt a lot more than Gabby has, and he has not quite recovered from that initial injury to come back and just put
up the points.
I don't
think anybody would take PMB, though.
You could almost make the argument that Gabby's, you know, healthier than PMB. Gabby, that's
an actual proven statement.
Gabby hasn't had a groin problem since he left Minnesota.
Gabby
no,
also
he's had shoulder problems.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a full season ever.
Yeah, but that concussions today, you know.
Honestly, I think unless you're a Minnesota fan, you would have no reason to even like PMB.
More or less. He was great right up until that concussion, and people were liking it. And I do actually hope that he comes back, because when he's on his game, he does put pucks in the net.
And, you know, we saw that problem last year. He came back for a little bit, and he just was not playing how he used to.
Well, what's great about him is he does come back and is not scared at all about getting into the boards and worried about his head. But we digress. We've been on the Wild way the hell too long.
Do we have any more NHL topics to kind of wrap this thing up?
Well, I mean, I would kind of like to bring up the fact that, you know, the center ice, NHL center ice.
Yeah, so as a...
a lot of people were saying, you know, hey, we missed half the season pretty much.
Yep.
NHL should say screw it, and to get the fans back, give them NHL center ice.
And so what they did was
that would have been the right decision.
So what they
agree.
So what they did was give center ice offered at what, about a third of the price.
Something like that. If you got the number, if you could send it to us, that'd be awesome.
It was like $40 or $50 for the year, I think. And I think normally it's like 120, 130, something like that.
I thought it was like...
I want to say it was 60 instead of 150.
Okay, so we're a ballpark.
But yeah, I mean, roughly a third, right in there.
60.
Yeah, cute. Good job. Good job, kids.
That's what Jive's saying. It's 60. So
okay.
So you know, but the thing is, I think the fans' expectations of getting it for free was wildly unrealistic.
Well,
because one, the teams pay their local cable affiliates, or actually, the cable affiliates pay the teams to broadcast. That's a lucrative contract for that team.
Which is why you can't get any of your local teams. All local teams are still blacked out.
Yes, but those feeds still come from somewhere.
No, they do. Because you're usually getting the local. Well, you can get the home or away feed, depending where you're at. I mean, but you have to be. If you want to watch your team, you have to be out of market.
Yeah.
Period.
But still, there's a contract involved. they can't just circumvent it without.
Wait,
penalty.
You have to be out of market to be able to watch your team? Okay, now, first of all, I'm going to tell you, nowadays, you're right, but I have had to fly up to Montreal to watch the Wild play.
However, with VPN being what it is, you can actually...
Well, there's ways...
There's ways to circumvent...
Not legally.
There's ways to circumvent... It's not even illegal. It's you're circumventing the rules that the cable company and the league has set up for where you can watch your team play online.
Well, and that's because of the sponsorship.
The one thing I found out after purchasing said plane ticket with hotel is that all I really had to do was check for a bar that actually had the NHL ticket proper that was willing to show the broadcast in French. Admittedly, a rough thing to do. In Minnesota, you're not going to find a lot of French speakers, and they're not going to put the volume up, which is actually important.
I guess my whole point with bringing this up was the fact that Gary Bettman did comment on this. I don't know if either one of you guys had seen this, and had basically said, you know, we'd like to offer it to you at a discounted price from the NHL. Unfortunately, we cannot give it away for free because of said sponsors and third parties involved with this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
But now, if the NHL really wants to retain their fans, do you honestly, or opinions asking both of you, do you think they should have ate the cost to keep
the
fan
base? They should have given
it
away for free this year.
You think
as a fan, you want that. However, in reality, you know it's not going to happen.
We already lost over half the season. I mean, we're going to get a half season.
I mean, obviously, but we're all big NHL and hockey fans, so we're going to watch the games no matter what. But a fair weather fan, you know, had they gotten NHL center ice for free, you think they would have?
They wouldn't care.
So the quick bumper sticker, of course, is that we all got screwed because we should have had that shit for free. Mikko Koivu is currently sitting in the penalty box. Didn't see what the penalty was for.
Mikko got a
penalty. Like I said, we've got a projector
against...
on the wall in the studio right now to watch this scrimmage.
There's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
I think we got like a...
Team Red is currently on the penalty. Oh, and they almost gave up a goal. Oh, they did give up a goal to Team White. So, yeah. Hey,
I'm guessing... If you guys check out the website, we should have a Mystery Science Theater 3K type of image of us watching the game.
So it's brilliant. Yeah, there'll be a photo of that here in a second. Also, it's brilliant to see that last week when I brought up the fact that Alaska was such a shitty team. Pardon my language.
Wow, that was
and
we went this far.
I know, I was doing so good. We swore before that.
We can breathe again.
All right,
boys.
Alaska, insofar as the collegiate experience right now in the WCHA
over to
has
goats.
Been horrible. And they still haven't gotten their second win. Why? Because the Gophers beat them in both games this last week.
Barely on the first one.
It was a rough one on the first one, but it wasn't a barely. It was a heartbreaker for Alaska.
You know what? They struck first, and it basically came down to what, the last...
No, it didn't.
3 minutes where they scored two goals?
No.
No.
It was a heartbreaker, but it was tied up, and the Gophers scored a goal in the last 3 minutes make them win.
As a quick game recap, what happened was the first period, actually, was really dominated by Alaska on the Friday night game.
Yeah, very much so.
I mean, they dominated the first period. They had the first seven shots. They were out hitting.
They were out shooting. They were
the Gophers were
playing better hockey.
You know, I don't know if the Gophers were just coming off of the Notre Dame win and they were just, you know, high on life or what, but they weren't. They were lackluster.
Or they could have just been burnt out from having a midweek game.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a likely thing. So, but basically, that first period was not very good, but they only gave up one goal. And really, the one goal wasn't that bad to look at Wilcox, because it was a jamming. I mean, Sproul was just
jamming at it.
I mean, you know, it's what are you going to do? However, the second period, two goals by the Gophers.
Yep.
You know, you had Rao with a tip in, his typical tip in. I mean, as we'll talk about a little bit, you know.
Rao, yeah. Dude, he likes to fight at the net, man.
And then Bukestad had a straight-ahead shot that Gunnarsson maybe should have not given up, but the Gophers are up 2-1. So at the end of two, you know. Going into the third, then Anchorage comes back. So, I mean, it was an up and down. It wasn't like Anchorage totally dominated that game.
But it was upsetting.
I thought Anchorage ended up getting two more goals in the third.
Yes, they did.
And the Gophers were down by one.
Yeah, but, I mean, there was still like...
But it was an up and down.
It was.
Alaska was up by one in the first. The Gophers were up by one in the second. Alaska came back and was ahead leading into the tail end.
Yeah. So it wasn't like they dominated and then all of a sudden the Gophers lucked out at the end.
They dominated the first period.
They did.
They controlled the first period. They played great hockey.
It was much more balanced hockey, though, after that first period.
Yeah.
In a general sense.
I mean, for a team sitting on the bottom of the WCHA, which the Gophers aren't sitting on the top.
Now, are we ready? Go ahead and say that, because I really want to bring up Saturday.
We'll get to that point.
Okay, so we're still talking about Friday.
Let's finish up Friday here.
Okay. The fact that the Gophers really dominated Notre Dame.
Yep.
3 days before.
Yep.
Paybacks are a bitch. Yes.
3 days before. And we had talked about this last week, saying do not underestimate Anchorage being a low-end team because they will put up a fight.
And
the Gophers
I was the one to say, fuck it, we're beating them.
They did split the series with Anchorage when they were in Alaska. I would say Alaska did put up a damn good fight.
They put up a very good fight. On Friday.
However, they had the major penalty with about 5 minutes left, you know, 4 minutes left or something like that.
That gave the Gophers the game.
It was a dumb penalty, and that cost them the game.
And it was a 5 minute major that.
And they gave up two goals on that 5 minute major.
I get it. They were frustrated.
However,
the Gophers had tied it back up.
The Gophers never said, oh, we totally deserve that. They said, we got a lucky break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Lucia was going off about how we got a bit lucky.
It was a borderline
major, were playing horribly,
you know.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, I wasn't even talking about the penalty. I was talking about the game in general at that point.
Yeah. But seriously, the major was borderline major, you know? So, I mean,
but it was an automatic major due to the collegiate rules.
Well, Anchorage.
I'm sorry. I didn't see the game. What was the major?
It was boarding.
Okay.
And it looked worse than I think it was. I mean, and the Anchorage coach was basically saying, in the NHL, that is not a major. And
fair enough.
And
it would have taken blood for it to be a major.
Well, that's pretty much almost any major in the NHL.
So it was questionable. So the Gophers got lucky.
Yeah.
However, come Saturday, things
7-1.
Things change.
Rao with a hat trick.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Bukestad had two, right?
I think only had one. I mean,
I don't have the stats in front of me.
It was spread around.
And I was
watching very spread around.
Outside of Rao.
Except for Rao's hat trick.
I think two of Rao's goals were tip-ins, I think. I mean, or deflections.
I know one of them for sure was.
Yes.
And it was the Gophers were playing Gopher hockey, and they did not have the injuries, and they had the players back from the juniors.
Well, the only player that was in the juniors was Riley?
The Finlander that's still out right now.
Ryan Riley.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was the only one that played for the Team USA in the World Juniors.
Yeah.
From the Gophers.
No, I'm thinking there's
you're
a
thinking
Finnish player.
You're thinking Halla, and he's out. Injured.
He's
a game time decision for this upcoming battle against the Sioux.
I believe he's out with a finger, like broken finger, maybe?
Or in NHL terms, upper body.
injury.
It's an upper body injury. We assume it's a broken finger.
Which, you know, Russo had said it took out Koivu for 3 weeks last year.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
It's tough. I mean, you got to manage the stick, and you know, and if you don't have confidence,
his broken finger took him out just as long as his broken leg. Koivu,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So, thinking about it that way,
you know, for a hockey player, what's that to say about a broken finger? There's guys that skate on broken ankles that wrap them up and still skate,
yeah,
without a problem. Well, I mean, you know, they may be losing like a half a step in their stride, but not very much.
Right.
You know, put up with it.
Yeah.
Broken finger? Nope.
No problem.
You lose your shot. You lose your puck handling. I mean, I could see how that would be a major deficit to any player.
But Gophers are still sitting up on top.
Are they?
And I can't remember if they were still in number one.
They were number one
going leagues. Or different conferences, or however they were.
Well,
they're
number
the
one in the
system makes absolutely no sense.
They're number one in the polls, and then in the WCHA, they're tied for third, but they're two games down, less games.
Is that
than,
still how it was
one.
When we talked about it last week?
Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, they moved up from fifth to third, but they're still two games down.
For anybody keeping score at home on the scrimmage right now,
Spurgeon.
To let you know, Spurgeon just scored a goal
for Team Red.
For the Red team against the Whiteys. Kill Whitey. All right. Yeah, so the top lines of the Wild are beating the bottom lines of the Wild. There's a shocker.
Wow.
Well, it's a shocker because Backstrom's in goal.
They
for
need
team
to
White.
Put the good goalie on the bad lines team. Come on. He needs to get tested. You know you're going to have your best shooters against the best goalie.
He's getting tested.
And he's not doing well by it.
He's really not.
Well, that
it,
just
maybe
means,
that just means we have so much offense, you know.
We're so offensive, and I'm guessing it's due to lack of soap in the showers. All right, do we want to move on to high school right now or no? Or?
Well, Josh, you know, do you still got the NCAA standings in front of you?
No, I never had those in front of me at
I
any
do.
Point. All right, Aaron, it's all you.
All right, Aaron, how are like the top five?
Should we go around Minnesota, or do we want to go the whole WCHA?
You
or?
Know, I think... I'm curious about the WCHA because I haven't had much of a chance to look at the standings for WCHA right now.
I think the best would be let's do WCHA and then break down the NCAA overall.
The top five NCAA.
Okay, so I got WCHA up here. Tied for number one right now is Denver and Nebraska Omaha.
And WCHA.
WCHA. They both have 16 games played. And they're both at 20 points. Tied at number three is NDSU, or UND, sorry, UND and Minnesota.
So this weekend's going to change up that spot, potentially, unless they split the series.
Unless they split,
and
yeah.
It's one of the absolute best rivalries in the history of collegiate hockey.
And game one, or game, I'm sorry, game two is Hockey Day Minnesota.
And, and honestly, potentially, I mean, they're both at 14 games, both at 19 points. There's a potential that they split the series and both end up in a tie for number one in the WCHA.
Brilliant.
Wow.
You know, depending on how Denver and Nebraska Omaha do.
Well, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I think if the Gophers win on Friday night, there should be a high expectation that they win on Hockey Day Minnesota.
And actually, just to follow it down, St. Cloud State is in fifth with 18 points, so they're only 2 points out of first, and they're at 14 games as well.
That's...
So they're only a point behind
that's fairly respectable.
The Gophers.
I think they were actually in the top 20 last I checked in the polls as well, St. Cloud State.
Their non-conference isn't so hot. They're 12-10 overall.
Yeah, okay.
So
maybe not.
Yeah. Then at 6, you get a tie between UMD and Wisconsin with 17 points and 16 games played for both of them. So there's a lot.
It's still a tight race.
They're 3 points behind number one.
Yeah,
and they're tied for six.
Anything can happen this weekend at that point.
And then probably the bottom of the top of the WCHA is Minnesota State. They're in eighth.
That's Mankato?
Yep. There are 16 games played, 16 points, but still they're 4 points out of first.
That's not bad. And then
they're within striking distance.
You got
really.
Alaska Anchorage sitting at the bottom?
Yep. Basically rounding them out, you have Colorado College, Bemidji State, Michigan Tech, in Anchorage.
Poor Beavers.
Yeah, Beavers are sitting down there a bit. With 14 games played, 11 points. The
Beavers are taking a pounding.
Yeah.
Well, huh? What, huh? Oh, look, our producer's lax at the soundboard for our quick
Jive,
noises.
We're not driving. Quit sleeping.
Jesus, Jive.
We're talking about Beavers taking a pounding. You got to have something for that.
He didn't have anything queued up. Not even a boing.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
There we go.
That'll work.
I can deal with that.
Good All God, right. We need to update that soundboard.
So, Aaron, how's the top five polls looking
now? On the NCAA now that we're out of WCHA.
WCHA. Yep. And Beavers taking poundings.
And yes, of course. Oh, now he's listening to us. Brilliant. So, the NCAA overall, how are you looking over there? Any love? Why are you messaging me? Okay, never mind.
Oh, so the Beavers taking a pounding and the Gophers, you know, digging holes.
Oh yeah. Well, and let's do a quick little sort of three in the box version of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on the Reds versus the Whites. So far the Native Americans are crushing intruders.
It could be the Soviets.
Hey. No. Bad Kenny. This is North America.
Okay, anyway.
All right.
Do we need the NCAA rankings?
Go Indians.
Yeah,
yes.
Top five.
Let's get the top five.
Okay. Number one, of course, is Minnesota.
Gophers still sitting on top.
BC is in number two.
What's the point spread between them? Or the
record for Minnesota is 16-3-3. Points as far as voting is 992.
Okay.
Boston College is at two. They're 13-4-2, and voting points is 942. So a bit of a gap there.
Still close enough that if the Gophers have a bad weekend and BC has a good weekend.
Minnesota had 47 first place votes. BC had zero.
Ooh.
They must have had a bad weekend last weekend.
Well, we did whoop
no,
up
no,
on
no,
them
previously BC was in third, so.
Okay.
New Hampshire is in third now, moving up from fourth. They had one first place vote.
Wow.
They're 14-4-2.
Wow, okay.
Good record.
And then fourth place is Quinnipiac.
Chappamadick? I mean, that's actually a city in New York, thank you.
They got two first place votes. They're 17-3-3. They're previously at fifth. Notre Dame has dropped to five.
So apparently they kind of went on a losing binge after the Gophers smoked them.
They're 15-6. They were previously in second, so that's quite a drop.
That is a good drop.
All right, and does that bring us to the end of the top five of the NCAA?
I'll just throw in number six is North Dakota.
Okay, right. Just curious, while you got the standings up, what's the next closest Minnesota team?
That would be D-B-D-B-O. That would be St. Cloud State at 19.
Okay, so they are still in the top 20.
Yes. They were previously at 18.
I do also want to say that the Gophers are on an 8-game winning streak right now. And within the WCHA, they are 8-3-3 right now.
And, gentlemen, so we don't sound too sexist, I do believe that the Gophers women hockey have been undefeated all season.
Yeah, they have.
And I think they have actually...
Was it 33 games in a row that I think they've won?
Something like that going back to pre-playoffs last season.
Oh, that is not a miracle. Let's face it, every single women's team we have here in the Metro crushes.
Right now, the Gophers ladies are at 16-0. 48 points. Next closest, Wisconsin with 34.
Yeah, the Gophers women.
Good luck, Badgers.
Yep.
They're kind of on a tear, and I know I think like 99.3% of our listeners are from Minnesota, so you know how the women are here.
Okay, so you want to hear this. Okay.
And you know how well they play hockey.
Yeah.
Ladies Gophers overall, 126 goals for, 18 goals against.
Wow.
Who's their goalie right now?
Are they rotating between
we
got to
bring up her name. Who is her goalie? Who is their goalie? What's her name? I want to know her name because holy Hannah, that is an amazing record.
Yeah. Can I put her on my fantasy team?
She's already in my fantasy life, but
Noora Rati, she must be Scandinavian.
Well, you know,
you Scandinavians.
You've
here.
Got an umlaut over the A, so.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we'd love to have her on the show just to banter with her for a minute and talk about how amazing of a season she's obviously having.
Goals against average?
Quick invitation.
0.95.
For anybody that's like, holy Hannah.
I know.
Good God. For anybody listening who's got a hookup for us to actually get her in here for an interview, we'd love you to work the magic and get us to be able to talk to her. Real quick, I'm going to do a rundown of the double A if everybody's all right with that. And so far as the high school men's.
Go for it.
All right.
Our high school wrap up.
Yes. Let's see. Wayzata is still in number one. Adana has moved up to number two. Well, stayed in number two. Sorry. Wayzata moved up to number one since our last show. Hill Murray dropped to number three. And Benilde St. Margaret dropped
to
number four.
Wow. What happened with Hill Murray?
Well, I don't have the full report in
front
of
me,
do
I? Thank you, sir. Curious. All right.
I'm guessing.
Anybody know?
I'm guessing.
No idea.
Right in.
That they just decided to suck for a minute. All right. Duluth East is in number five. Minnetonka is sitting in number six. Duluth East moving up, obviously, from number seventh into number fifth. Minnetonka is down to sixth, like I said, staying neutral. Egan is up to number seven overall in the double A. Centennial actually is sitting neutral at 8. Blaine sitting neutral at 9. And Burnsville is sitting neutral at 10. No movement there at all on those last three spots. But that is the playoff picture coming up close to the high school tournament here.
Yeah, do we know when that starts?
Usually it's
Right around Hockey Day in Minnesota, but it's...
No. High school, because they got the outdoor high school games.
Yeah.
They always have. I believe,
and they have the XL hockey games as well. But
because you got boys basketball, I think wrapping up the whole winter sports thing.
I want to say it's the week after the Super Bowl.
I thought it was end of February. I thought the girls was like the second week of February, and the boys hockey was the last week of February.
Yeah,
because
they
be
put
wrong
the girls. They put the girls up against the Super Bowl, and then they put the guys up the following week.
Because I think it goes girls hockey, girls basketball, boys hockey, boys basketball, if I remember correctly.
I couldn't remember. It's been so long since I've been in high school. They have totally different laws now about people like me walking into a high school arena.
Yeah, it's called pedophilia.
No. It's about conceal and carry.
And by conceal and carry, you mean booze, right?
Goddamn Skippy.
You know, it's a tobacco-free zone, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's why they never let me in. All right. Let's see. So, yeah, everything's still looking, insofar as the leaderboard for hockey or Mr. Hockey out of the high schoolers, the one big change, it looks like the top goal scorer is Tanner Pitched right now, changing from last week. Jared Christian is still overall in points. Still looking like a great time. Folks, remember that it's a pittance to show up at the X and watch the high school hockey tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And it's possibly one of the best sessions of hockey that you get to watch. And you get to see, what, 2-3 games per
day.
Ticket?
Easily.
Well, no, on a day you can watch 4 to 6, depending on which day you buy a ticket for, and
right.
It's split into 2 sessions.
Yeah.
You know, between that and then right after that, you have the Red Baron.
Why are we invoking frozen pizza?
Because it's on ice. The frozen.
Oh, my God. That's your whole justification.
No. The Red Baron frozen or WCHA.
Dear Kenny, find
Jesus.
Notebook.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Red Baron... apparently killed a bunch of British soldiers over... What?
Frozen 5.
The Frozen 4.
Frozen 4 is the end of the WCHA. Final 5.
Final
5. There you go.
God, why did I... Wow.
So
anyway...
Now that we've proven that we got our little Kenny way too drunk when we went out to pregame before the show...
No, not quite. I just couldn't remember.
Whatever, let's sleep at night.
A shot, a save. We can breathe again.
All right, lads, remember.
Hey, gentlemen, on a non-hockey related note, next week we Crashed Ice coming up.
Well, we'll have another broadcast before Crashed Ice, but hopefully we will be having our Crashed Ice report very similar to last year, and we'll have our wrap-up, hopefully with a bunch of the same people we had last year for the wrap-up show. I know I will be standing out there, hopefully not freezing as badly as I did last year from being horribly underdressed.
Gentlemen,
it's supposed to be another cold one, though.
I would like to say that there is a very familiar name from last year that just won in Niagara Falls.
Auntie?
No, Kyle Croxall.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
He took it from Canada. Cameron Nas from USA took second place.
Well, and our own Brandy Brown will actually be going through the qualifier run. She has passed on to go through the qualifier run on Thursday as one of the few women to be accepted to do the run.
Just as a preface, get ready for a full-on Crashed Ice special episode.
Just looking at Brandy's bruises. We'll have a whole section of that.
Maybe we'll get lucky and see pictures.
That would actually, I wouldn't complain about that at all.
I'm just thinking bruises, dark skin, so.
Yeah, you know.
just saying, I mean.
So. I'm biting my tongue so badly right now to not say the horrible things that go on in my head.
So let's wrap this thing up.
Thanks, folks. We will be reporting on Crashed Ice, and we'll have another show next week. We'll actually talk about the Wild's
in
first
day,
couple of games.
Minnesota results.
We will be able to talk to you about the Pond Hockey Tournament, which we will love to do. We'll have more updates on high school hockey and the Gophers.
Is Mr. Compton available next Wednesday to comment on his experience with pond hockey?
Actually, quite possibly. I will see if we can get Peter Compton. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him in as a guest for a second to talk about the pond hockey tournament. Go out, check out the pond hockey tournament. Check out cyanetradio.com. We'll be rebroadcasting there.
Hell, if you're listening to us in Minnesota, go check out some of the outdoor high school games if you're way out in the wherever.
Just go check out a high school game. All of us bitched about the NHL being locked out, and then we found better.
You know, and we've got to mention that this Saturday is Hockey Day in Minnesota.
That's what we're...
In a general sense. And
absolutely. So, yeah, go out.
Yeah, sorry we didn't mention that.
Yeah. We didn't mention that at all.
We hinted at it quite a bit and talked about a lot of the events that were going on with it, but we did not mention it is Hockey Day Minnesota this Saturday.
It'll be
Saturday!
And with that, we have the end of the show.
Good night, folks.
My name is Aaron.
Kenny signing off.
And this is the Meat Beast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week and hopefully not be so distracted by the game we've got on the wall behind us. Cheers, folks.
Peace out.
3-1 red.
Kanapka.
What about him?
He's John. I don't know if he's at the ref or at the official service at a player, but he is John.
Or the coach.
Yeah, that'll get him on the team.
Oh. Really? You're going to talk to me like that right now? I'm going to just walk down the tunnel right now. And hey, guess what? I'm already walking down the tunnel. Fuck off.